We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for your goodness to us, Lord God. We thank you that you are who you are, Lord God, and you never change, you never alter. And Lord, we can rely upon you, our rock. And Lord, so we look to you this morning, Lord, as we remind ourselves the truth of your word, Lord God, the truth about who you are and what you are and how you, Lord, respond. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Open our hearts and our minds. Amen. What I'm going to say to you, and you could say, well, you should be anyway, is basically mostly from Scripture. Oh, good for that. You'll be relieved to hear that. But, you know, there's a place for anecdotes and quotes and all the rest of it. And that's fine. And I'm all for that. And I'll cut bits out of newspaper. You got none of that this morning. Okay, so you've just got basically the Word of God and a bit of added from, hopefully, from the Holy Spirit. That's what we want, isn't it? Yes. We don't. You don't want to hear a man speak. You don't want to. You want the Word of God for now.
Yes.
To deal with us. And it just struck me last week when he was in the service. It just came to me. He's the same God today that he's always been. And it was just that that set me off to write these few verses down and to look these things up. And just a few reminders around that. Hebrews 13:8. It says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'll come to a reason why in a moment. Revelation 22:13. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Finally here, Malachi 3 and 6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. You see, we often look at life through the perspective of how we are, and we apply that falsely to God. We sometimes feel that his reactions will be like our reactions, that his attributes are a bit like ours, but a bit better. I want to tell you, they're completely different. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The things that Jesus spoke about, the things that he preached about, the things that he taught remain. They're unalterable, unchangeable. They were the same yesterday, they're the same today, and they forever will be. And that gives you a helpful understanding that when you come into the Word of God, you don't get into all these notions of, well, that's not for today. Particularly in the New Testament. I know in the Old Testament there were things pertaining to Israel. It was specifically for Israel. There are types and shadows there of things to come and yet to come. There are things in prophecy, particularly the book of Revelation, that are yet to come. And some that are today. As we look around the world, it just struck me how hot it is in September. You know, there's things there that are in the Word of God. And the same yesterday, today, and forever. I remember somebody used to misquote that. And you say, the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. And I suppose it's almost the same thing, but it's not quite. Revelation 26, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. He was there at the start, he'll be there at the end. Nothing else, everything in between is there. The first, the very first. And the very last. There's nothing, absolutely nothing in between. There is no need for an intermediary for Christ. There is no need for a priest in that sense. We're all priests and kings in another sense, but in the sense of somebody to come in as it were, vicariously, instead of. We don't need any of that. We don't need an altar anymore. Hallelujah. Why? Because the sacrifice has been made once for all. There's no need to change it. It's done.
Hallelujah.
He said it is finished on the cross, did he not? So we have these things he talks about in Isaiah 40. The grass withering and flower fades. We all see that. You stick a bunch in your vase, you're lucky you get a week. Until you get the special brown flowers that's still to spread everywhere. But it says, but the word of God stands forever. Now, people would like certainty in life, wouldn't they? They would like to know what's... They would like to be able to have something which is going to stand the test of time. And the word of God declares of itself that God's word stands forever. Stands forever. I remember once Rhoda shared a dream she had with me, and the basis of it was that stand on the word of God. I won't go into all the details. It's quite complex and quite detailed. But the whole bit of it was... Troubled times come. Problems hit us. The church will be under attack from time to time. As the time goes on, even more so. But what you and I need to understand is the truth that we're looking at this morning. The word of God stands forever. Stand on the word. Not what is said, not somebody's idea, not somebody's prophecy. Test it. Test it. Test it with the word of God. Because that's what will stand. You will fall if you go away from the word of God. Malachi, I am the Lord, I do not change. Now there's three things I want to bring out about that not changing, because it's quite important in the nature of God. First of all, this, he doesn't change his mind. Okay? People change their minds. Notoriously, ladies change their minds. I won't read you the rules, but I looked at that this week. God doesn't change his mind. God hasn't changed his mind about judgment. He has not changed his mind about sin. He's not changed his mind about salvation. He's not changed his mind about healing. He's not changed his mind about his love for each and every one of us. He's not going to change his mind. The devil will tell you differently. The devil will tell you, oh no, you're a special case. You're something different. Your circumstances don't count. Don't listen to the lies. The word of God stands forever. I do not change, he says. He's not going to alter his ways. This is why this false notion that many churches put out that, oh, God was this vengeful God in the Old Testament, and he's this God of love in the new, and there is no judgment in the new. And no, he's both in both. If you read it, if you take care to read it from cover to cover, you'll see God's love in the old, you'll see God's love in the new. You'll see God's judgment in the old, you'll see God's judgment in the new. Why? Because he's the same God. He hasn't changed. He's not altered his stance. He's not altered his ways. He doesn't change his mind. Now, this is related to a fancy theological word called omniscience. It's about omniscience. To change your mind is to act on new information. Is it not? Well, his omniscience is all-knowing. He's an all-knowing God, so he doesn't need to change his mind because there is no new information. He's got it all. And the other reason we change our mind is often through capriciousness. Do you know what that is? Just awkward, wrong way out sort of people. Oh, we'll just change because I don't feel like it anymore. God isn't like that. He doesn't respond out of a capricious nature. He responds out of a righteous nature. Numbers 23:19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. He has said he will, he has said, and will he not do? Or he has spoken, and will he not make it good? God's promises are yes and amen. You see, what we're talking about this morning should excite you. When you begin to look at the promises of God that you find in the Word of God, and you begin to put that Word of God into practice, you begin to fulfill the promise around that scripture, then you can say, hey, amen, that is mine. Because he hasn't changed his mind. He hasn't altered in any way in all of that. He won't alter. His Word will be made good. It's interesting how over the years, different things have tried to attack the Word of God. And the only times that it that there is a failure, it's not because the word of God has failed, it's because Christians have said the wrong thing about it. Things like, oh, it's only the King James Bible that's the word of God. Really? Well, where'd they get that one from, the Bible? They got most of it out from, what was it called, Tyndale. So, what's wrong with Tyndale? Well, it's 90% of the King James is from Tyndale. And so on and so on. Language changes its meaning, does it not? We don't sayeth this and that, do we, anymore? I've got no problem with people reading that and like it. That's fine. It's a beautiful way of reading scripture. I don't deny it. But for me, all right, I've got a decent education. But as far as the English language is concerned, I prefer to be able to read it contextually in the language I speak. Okay, that helps me to understand a lot better. And I'll go through several translations many times. Why? Because there's just little nuances, just little facets, little bit more of the diamond that sparkles as you look through it. Yeah? But it isn't just one, is it? Oh, the verses in the Bible, oh, they're the right place for the... Well, how come some of them just stop dead in the middle of a sentence or a statement, then you go into the next? It's not like that. The only one that applies, I think, is John 6, 66. They followed him no longer. You know, this is, it's quite amusing. But there we go. These things aren't there. They're the wrong understanding. They begin to put in place an idea or an interpretation of what the Word of God supposedly says, and it's not true. Then hence people get flat earths. And a myriad of other horrible things that they pretend it's in the Word, and it's not, and it brings it into disrepute. It's not what God has spoken. We need to be careful, don't we, sometimes? James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom, I like this, there is no variation or shadow of turning. No shadow of turning. It's not even a slight move. When we come down here on a Sunday morning, I'm going back, we come through a traffic system where they're putting on the upgraded motorway. Upgraded to a disastrous, dangerous road. And we'll all look forward to that when it's in place. But in the meantime, you've got a wonderful section of a 50 mile an hour with these really narrow lanes. Haven't you? And it's like, oh, you're going past a lorry one side, and the people who are in the outside lane, they tend to not go near it so much. They want, they're driving along the line or over the line because there's like a concrete barrier there. So they get nervous in driving it, don't they? If you've done it, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah? And so they're over your way, and you come to a lorry there, and you're like, my car is this way, and you cannot do this. And you think, one little shadow of variance here and we are done for. It's going to be real trouble. Well, God doesn't matter how the lanes get narrow in life. It doesn't matter how difficult it gets. It doesn't matter what a ridiculous situation you find yourself in. There is no shadow of variance of turning with him. It's great. Just a tiny little bit. Not a change. You're getting the picture. Sometimes it takes a lot of scripture saying the same thing in different facets that gets through our thick heads. Well, they're talking about me, not you. Clearly it's not you, but it's definitely me. And you read this and it gets, whoa, there is something here. Why is it said so many times? God wants you to know it. God wants you to understand that. He wants you to impart that. He wants you to make this the reality of your understanding and your experience, that you apply it from day to day. And when you come across the next scripture, you can apply it more so. Why? Because you know he's not changed his mind. You know he's still the same. God is not limited by the constraints of time. This is another reason he doesn't change. He's not limited by those constraints. Psalm 102, 25, 27. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and heavens are the work of your hands, and they will punish you, but you will endure. Yes, they will grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them, and they will be changed. But you, this is of God, are the same, and your years will have no end. You know it's talking about God if you read it, because you can see where the capital letters are. He doesn't change. Some people, I'll often you'll see cartoons and they'll have God sitting on a cloud with eight people, angels playing harps around him. And he's there and he's looking a bit haggard and he's got this beard sort of down to his knees. He doesn't get old. It's you and I that get old. It's you and I that are changing in that sense in our physical being. But one day we're going to get a new body. One day it's not going to be the aches and the pains. There's not going to be the trials. There's not going to be all the fears and all the trials, all the difficulties. One day we'll be with the Lord. And you'll get a new body. It's good, isn't it? Isaiah 40, 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. We're again on the attributes of God. His understanding, unsearchable. It's beyond our measure. Who was a God that's able to be who thinks the same as our ability? Not much use, is it? We want a God that knows it all, don't we?
Yes.
We want a God that understands everything. We want a God, excuse me, that doesn't faint. Oh, he's having an off day. He's having a lie down. Oh, but I'm in need. Well, but he's having a lie down. Wouldn't be very good, would it? Now, you could say that of us. You could certainly say it of Rhoda and I over the last month. We're having a lie down. Why? Because we are weary. But God doesn't grow weary. But what the Bible tells us and warns us to be not to be weary in well-doing, doesn't it? Because the trials of life can grind us down. And we have to get back to the perspective of the Word of God. That's what sets you right.
Yes.
That's what lifts you from that place of spiritual weariness, is getting back to the Word of God. Putting your mind focused upon the truth therein. Okay, now God doesn't have to do that because he knows it all and it's part of him all the time. So he doesn't grow weary. It's just that he laughs at the schemes of men. Psalm 90 and 2. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever you were formed, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. There's never been a time he's not been God. People have all sorts of thoughts, but that's the truth. Here's another fact. Perfection doesn't need to alter. Change implies going from better to better or from worse to worse, does it not? It's got to be one or the other. You're either getting better or you're getting worse if you're changing. You and I are called to change. From where we are to better, to be Christ-like. Okay? So we are in this life, we're in this walk, we're on this road to become more Christ-like day by day. Better and better and better, from glory to glory. God doesn't need that. He's already perfect. He doesn't need to change, and he doesn't change because he's not getting better, because he's the best. He isn't getting worse, because he never can be. You ever thought of these things? Psalm 119:90. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. Psalm 33:11. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. Now, some people's counsel sort of falls when it leaves their mouth, doesn't it? But God's counsel stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. God's got a plan. He's got a plan for time. He has. You see it through generations. They didn't understand. Israel didn't understand it when Christ came the first time. They didn't focus on what he'd come for. They got part of it, but they didn't recognize him for who he was and what his part in was going to do. But God's plan was for salvation to all men. It was in the old. You can read it and study it if you like. You'll find it there if you look.
Yeah.
Talking about the branches being tied together and so forth. To all generations and all these things. His faithfulness endures. He's established the earth and it abides. It lasts. What God does lasts. It's only when men interfere does it start getting messed up. I.e. planet Earth. Revelation 22:13. We said this one already. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. There's nothing that's past his understanding. There's nothing that's past his knowing or seeing or doing. You're not pulled a fast one on God. Now, you get to hear people like, what's he called? Stephen Fry. And how, well, he's going to tell God off when he sees him. And it's like, oh, I shudder when I see stuff like that. And I think, you may be a clever fellow, but you know nothing. You shudder to think, when you see Almighty God, you won't be saying a word. No. You will fall down. And you will shudder at his presence. Moving on from that. Now, we've had a nice look so far. How are we doing for time? At some of the theology here. We've used fancy words like omniscience and so forth. And we looked at the fact that God remains the same. But a lot of preachers are just shut up now and say, well, God bless you and go away. And there you are, nice little son. But to me, the word of God is essentially practical. An application. I think Laura mentioned an application as she was speaking. We've got to apply the word of God. So what is this for us? What's the practical outworking of our understanding from what we've just been looking at through all those numbers of scriptures? And if you don't remember them all, you don't write them down, which most people don't. I don't write stuff down. It just puts me off from listening. It's on the tape. Tape. Internet. Show my age there. Tape. Oh dear. So, what do we do? Well, first of all, and I've said some on the way as we've gone through, we can rely on his word. Amen. We can rely on it. Because these are the factors that's true. We can say, well, there's all manner of things which are vying for our attention, vying for our approval, vying for our direction. But God says we can rely upon his word. Secondly, he doesn't change his mind. It's unalterable. Next, he remains as he is and as he was for all time. He's sovereign. He's almighty. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. I'll not use the fancy double barrel scriptural theological words for them all, but that just cuts it down to what we understand. Those things we need. We need to know these things. We need to, when we're reading the word of God, have these things in mind so that we can apply that word because it's real. Next, what he says, he means. There's a lot of people want to say, well, yeah, but he doesn't understand the society in which we live. It's different today. It's altered a bit because of this and because of that. And times and fashions go. But the word of God stands forever. We've read that. He never what he says he means. He never changes. We used to sing a song. He never changes. He's the same. And every time I sung it, my dreadful mind would go and think of somebody in a congregation who never alters, who never changes, who never does what they need to do. And I'd go, he never changes. Here's the thing. I know you don't do stuff like this. And I'm just a dreadful person. But hey, it's like that scripture that says, quit ye like men. And what it means is be equipped like a man, not quit because you're a bloke. You can just jack it in and not bother. And, you know, it's just my perverse sense of humour and mind. But there we go. He never changes. That's not God's people. You're here to change. Yeah. Anybody perfect? You better leave if you are, because the rest of us aren't. We'll only cause you trouble. We're here to change. We're here to be perfected. We're work in progress. and in this section also. His promises are yes and amen. You can put your trust, you can put your faith, you can put your everything you on him.
Yes.
Not religion, not man's translation, but in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You can put your trust in him. Matthew 10 and 1, it says, some more application. So that's all I've gleaned from a lot of the scriptures there, but more application. Matthew 10 and 1. And when he had called the 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. So do we stop that now? Has that ended? I think not. So, well, it was only for the disciples. What were you called to be? And he didn't just send the 12 out. He sent another 60 out and so on and so on. And every time you read in the New Testament, it's not just the 12. It's not just those first few. You see it extended to all believers. Why? Because he gave us power by the Holy Spirit. Has he taken it away as some would teach and preach? He never changes. He's the same. It hasn't gone, has it? It hasn't altered. So these things that we're talking about remain for the church. It's because I believe so profoundly that as the Pentecostal churches throughout the world have seen the abuse, the ridiculousness of some of the things that's gone on, the false teaching that's been in so many, the name it and claim it, the dancing and shouting, the falling over, the laughing. And they've seen that and they've said in their hearts, they said, I want nothing to do with that. And you're right.
Yeah.
I want nothing to do with that. I don't want to be associated with that. I don't want our Lord brought into disrepute. See, there's a good intention here. But it's brought, the devil's done a wonderful job, because what he's done is he's scared us off from the supernatural. He scared us off from moving in the power of the gifts of the Spirit like we ought to do. What's the best way to show the false from the true? Demonstrate it by the truth. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The good things he does for you, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases. Old Testament. Forgives your iniquities. Well, I like that. I need that. I need it badly, don't you? And that's the wonderful thing about salvation. Thank God it's dealt with. Who heals all thy diseases. Finally, in scriptural terms, 1 Corinthians 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. There's something he wanted the church to understand, something to know, something to grasp, something to have that is important. He's making a point right at the beginning of this chapter. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were, wherever you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So he's giving an introduction to some bad stuff that's been going on, some false things. Then he goes on and gives a teaching and understanding about things, about the Spirit of God. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now get that, the spiritual gifts are not to lay somebody on this plane or this pedestal to say, ooh, it's Prophet Jones or whatever. You know, ooh, he's got a wonderful gift. No, he's got a gift of it. Ooh, isn't that wonderful? It's the same Lord. Not the one should be lifted up. It's God who is lifted up. And if we try and take any credit for anything that God has done, we're in dire places. We're in dangerous straits. Each one is given for the profit of all. He's talking specifically about the church. You and I, the body, ministering one to another. Again, that was similar to the theme we heard earlier on. Ministering one to another by the Spirit. And he goes and says, for one is given a word of... Have I got the right place? But yeah. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. So we see the gifts of the Spirit that we all know in Pentecostal churches. We teach on those things quite frequently, or less frequently these days. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. All right. So, what do you conclude from that? I know it's not an open forum, but... Okay. Well, what's it telling you? It's telling us this is the commonality of the early church. This was the expectation, and he's saying these things to place them in order. Not to say, well, there shouldn't be doing that, there shouldn't be doing this, and this, these are not part. He's saying this is the normal experience within a church that is full of the Holy Spirit. Okay. And he's saying that we're not all functioning the same thing. Well, you want a diversity of gifts, surely. Yes. You'd want them all. Yeah. We want to see that displayed. But what I want to say to you this morning, I encourage you to seek a gift. Ask. I haven't got the scripture for you, but it does tell you to seek earnestly. Does it not? God hasn't changed his mind. You might have. I'll say again, you might have. But God hasn't. Summing up, we're living in a day when all sorts of vile things are going on. The devil's having a rampage. And there will come a time when he demonstrates things in power. In power. And if there's no manifestation of the power in the church, true church of Jesus Christ, how will people, even the saints, maybe beguiled by the power that's demonstrated by the enemy? Tells you this in Revelation. Care to read it. You and I, you and I are not unaware of his devices, are we? Part of the reason for this sermon, so that we're not unaware. We know what's going on, and we've got to get our heart and our mind and our mindset and our actions in line with the Word of God, in line with the Spirit of God, and move in accordance with the Word of God, and be a people that are endued with power. Amen. Not of our strength. Forget your strength. Useless. But in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I heard a few meek amens there. This is something you have to wrestle with God yourself. You have to seek him. You have to be willing. Some of us have moved in the Spirit, in the gifts of the Spirit in the past, haven't we? Yes! And there are times, I know there's times and seasons when we started to pioneer in this church, we saw God moving that way weekly, didn't we? But you get times and seasons and ways, but never. I believe it's time, as it's put, when you're going to wake up and strengthen the things that remain. And you and I, we know better. So let's seek the Lord, shall we? Let's stand as we pray.